This episode of On the Limb with Nature's Voice Game Calls is brought to you by Will Jewelry and Loan. When you need cash and you need it fast, check out Will Jewelry and Loan. Come on in with your jewelry, firearms, electronics, tools, lawn equipment, dirt bikes, side-by-sides, and even four-wheelers. They will beat any competitor's loan amount, and that's a fact. Will Jewelry and Loan guarantees faster and more cash for your loan than any other company in the area. They have your cash you need fast. Check them out today on their Facebook page or give them a call at 304-768-5101. Stop in and talk with them at 5523 McCorkle Avenue, Southwest, South Charleston, West Virginia. Will Jewelry and Loan, 304-768-5101. Hey folks, welcome back to another episode of On the Limb with Nature's Voice Game Calls. Folks, we've been talking turkey for the last couple weeks, but now this evening we're going to get into the nitty-gritty. We're going to be talking to a five-time Georgia State Championship competition caller. I mean, this guy right here knows what to do when it comes to calling in some turkeys.
That's awesome, man.
I mean, he's been doing it for over 40-some years. It's just crazy the experience this guy has, and yeah. You know, the success that he's had over the years, you know, it's just crazy. So we'll get into that later. Talking a little bit about Summersville, we just come back from the Summersville Woods and Water Expo. That was a good show. They had Bruce Mitchell there, the Gator Man, and they had the Turtle Man there, and they had Jimmy Houston there, which was really good. I didn't get to go see him because he was too busy, but they had him there, and he had a line up all the way out the door, and so did the Turtle Man. So it's crazy how many people watch those shows and, you know, come out and want to see them guys. But yeah. They're good shows, and, you know, they do good stuff in the outdoors. So we also met David and Karen Holder from the West Virginia Bowhunters Association there at the banquet. They was speaking there. They was the guest speaker. So they have Raised Hunting TV show. That's what they call it. And he kind of gave a little story. We're going to have him on the podcast later on, so I don't want to give too much away. But
right.
He's got a book out. You know, they raised hunting, true stories of faith, family, and the adventure of hunting.
Oh, my gosh.
Man, that goes right with our podcast.
Yeah.
You know?
That's awesome.
God, family, country, and everything outdoors.
Yeah.
So it kind of lines up with everything we've got there. So
absolutely.
I was like, man, we've got to have you on, David and Karen, both. They'll both be on the show. So we're going to set that up sometime, hopefully in August, right before bow season or right maybe at the end of bow season. So
yeah.
All righty. Dan, great. How you doing, brother? You online?
Yeah, I'm good.
Oh. What's going on,
sounds
bud?
Sounds salty.
Yeah, I'm good. You all right there, bud?
I'm just peach keen. Y'all doing all right?
Yeah, we're doing good, man.
Good.
So let's get into it, I guess. Let's please welcome with me the five-time state champion competition caller, Stanley Wimes. Woo! Stanley, how you doing, sir?
Oh, man, I'm doing great, man. Living the dream, man, living the dream.
I hear you. So tell us how it was winning the state champion in Georgia five times.
Well, you know, just, you know, when I first started this journey with turkey call building and building call for the local guys in my neighborhood, and I decided to say, well, you know what, I want to take these calls and see how they're doing in competition.
Yeah.
And trust me, when I first got started, yeah, I was one of the guys that was in the back of the pack. Because, you know, you're trying to learn the game, you're learning what they expect, because competition calling and turkey hunting is two totally different animals. And because, you know, with turkeys, you can kind of have a few mistakes and you can get away with it. But
Yeah.
when you're on stage, you got to have a good solid routine and you know, a good run.
Yeah.
And just, you know, the first time, you know, when Georgia State, it was exciting. I was like, okay, I won it. And it felt good. I was like, yes, I won it. Well, the next year, you know, one of the guys that has really helped me out a lot on the college circuit is Richard Gunn.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, he just won the team, you know, after reaching that Grand Nationals this year, and I was one of the first guys to congratulate him. And, you know, he and I, we're both in Georgia, so we're competing against each other.
Yeah.
and so the next year, he won it, and we had a call-off, and we had to go through, like, three call-offs, and he pulled it out to win. So I was like, okay, I got to get on the horse, and I got to ride a little bit harder.
yeah.
But, and the next year, you know, I won it back. Okay, I was like, yeah, two times.
So it's just back and forth, back and forth.
Yeah, well, and then, you know, the next year, boom, I won it back-to-back. I was like, oh, back-to-back, Chad. And I was like, you know, I'm ready to go from there three-peat, you know. And and then we got some new caller came in, like a guy by the name of John Padgett, Zach Conaway. So that put some new horses in the race. Well, you know, one year Conaway won it, one year John Padgett won it. But then I slid back in and I win it again. And then this past year, I won it again. So, and then I sit and go, I've won it five times. And I was like, wow, okay. And just, you know, and going to so many different contests and competing. And we have competition calls. We know when we're doing good. We know when we're doing bad. But I had a guy, Mr. Bobby Woods, Grand National caller.
Yep.
He told me, he said, Stanley, you're going to win some, you should have lost. You're going to lose some, you should have won. And so with that being said, it made you learn how to say, okay, today wasn't my day. The judges didn't, you know, because you call it to a man, so you kind of, so you got to accept it for what it is. Because every day, everybody here sound different.
Yep.
And so that's where I learned to just, you know, get thick skin and just keep pushing forward. But the first time I got qualified to compete at the Grand Nationals, I sat down and looked at all the guys that was calling at the Grand National level, and I said, I'm not good enough to call with them guys.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I mean, wow. I said, I'm not good enough to call with them guys. And my first year of qualification, I deferred my year, and I didn't go to Grand Nationals. I was like, I can't compete with them guys. I mean, I had to get some better stuff to compete with, build some better stuff. And I was so blessed and thankful that, you know, I had family that supported me. And, hey, I had friends that helped me along the way. And some of the guys that helped me were Grand National callers, you know, Bobby Wood, Sal McGraw, Joe Drake. I mean, you name them, Dustin Jones. You name all the guys that's on the circuit, Bruce Sale. I mean, all these guys are Grand National winners, and they was offering me help.
Yeah.
Awesome. So that's where it really got good. Because I'm like, hey, you know, these guys welcomed me in, and I'm liking this. And so it got to be fun.
Yeah.
You know, talking on that, you know, these guys helping you. What's your background? How did you get started in the outdoors and into calling, and who helped you the most along your beginning part of your journey?
Well, I grew up hunting my whole life. My father, my uncle, they started the hunting club back in the early 60s, 1960, I think it was. And the name of the hunt club was B&W Hunt Club. And they deer hunted, but I cut my teeth on hunting, rabbit hunting with my dad.
Oh, you know? Nice.
Sure.
I was the guy that toted the rabbits because I wasn't big enough to shoot a gun yet, but finally I got to where I could shoot a gun. But my dad always took me fishing, hunting. And, you know, my dad was big into deer hunting. And I became real big into deer hunting. But then a bunch of my buddies, we always chase that thrill of wanting to do something different. So me and my buddy, Wayne Craig, James Bates, Danny Kincaid, we're all kids in school, and we all decided we want to go turkey hunting. And I come home and tell my dad, I want to go turkey hunting. I want to learn how to turkey hunt. And he tells me to go out there and get that firewood and get it in the house. And so I went and cut the firewood. He never said anything about it. And the next day, he come home from work, and he hands me a Bentley boxcar. So, and I still got that box call to the day.
Nice.
And I killed my first turkey with it. And so that kind of just fueled the fire. And, you know, as you go through life, you're playing sports in school, you're doing everything else. But that passion of turkey hunting just still was there. And finally, it just, I've been a successful archery hunter. I've killed a lot of nice deer with archery equipment. And then just this turkey hunting bug, it bit me hard. And I just took off.
It's something about them turkeys that'll get you.
Yeah, it seems to do that, don't it?
Yes, they do. Yes, they do. And, you know, what I love about turkey hunting is it can be, it's one-on-one. It can get personal. And if any man say, if he hadn't chased one particular turkey for a whole season, and he got whipped and he got beat numerous of times. And then when he finally do harvest that bird, he go, well, I don't have another bird to chase now.
Oh, yeah. So
you completed the drill, but you look back at how much you put and how much time you put into harvesting that one bird. It just, and now, you know, I'll enjoy going calling for other people, let other people harvest the bird, helping them get their bird, because that's the fun part about it now.
Yeah.
That somebody enjoy what I've had to enjoy.
Yep. So you talking about that, let's talk a little bit about that 2022 article that the NWTF done on you, An Impartial Passion. Tell us a little bit about that experience.
You know, what's her name that wrote this article? When she called me up and said she would like to write this article, Miss Susan Deck. And I just kind of, you know, okay, I give her all the stuff she needed. And I really didn't think nothing else about it. Just, you know, okay, she wants the information. And then all of a sudden, everybody calls me and say, hey, man, you're in the, you're in the NWTF magazine.
Yeah, you're all over the place when it comes to NWTF when that happened.
Yeah. And, you know, and it was cool because I think in 2019, they had an article also and had me featured in it. It was called Lost in Translation. And it was called Field Calling versus Stage Calling. What's the difference?
Oh, okay. And, yeah.
And that was in 2019. And so that was amazing. And then, you know, when they did this one, this was just, you know, it was awesome, man. I was like, and I've just enjoyed it for so long and being welcomed by so many people. It's been just humbling. But that magazine, I just kind of touched base on the people that inspired me and pushed me and kept me kind of motivated to keep going.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, and, you know, knowing that's a passion. And, you know, just like that quote that I wrote. And, you know, that quote stated, you know, the passion, you know, for the outdoors does not have any prejudice.
Yeah.
It's just a true passion that should be cultivated and educated and tended to by those of us with the skills to flame, you know, the passion and keep it embers burning. Mm-hmm. I mean, and it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what color you are. It doesn't matter. If you have the passion, you need to pass it on to someone else for they can understand what that passion is all about.
That's right. That's for sure.
And some people never get to experience that passion.
No, and that's
absolutely. Yeah, there's a lot that don't.
That's one of the reasons why we got to carry this on, you know. I mean, we got to carry this hunting tradition, heritage on, and whether it's in the woods or it's competition calling or whatever, I mean, it all, you know, runs together. Everybody that's there, it's a competition caller, they still hunt, you know. They're still passing that heritage along to everybody. And, you know, the NWTF convention and, you know, Grand Nationals, it's not just a competition show. I mean, there's all kinds of vendors there. There's over 1,000 some vendors there, I'm pretty sure. I mean, it's just it's crazy. Wow. It's one of the biggest trade shows in the industry. So there's a ton of stuff that goes on there. They do a lot of stuff with the youth. They do a lot of, you know, raffles and things like that, and different contests for best calls and all kinds of stuff, like, you know, woodworking stuff. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, it's really good.
You know, and just like this year, you know, getting excited for the Grand National, because, you know, that's the Super Bowl for us. That's our Super Bowl of turkey call.
Yes, it is. You
know?
Yep.
Oh, absolutely. And you have to get qualified to beat it. You have to either win a state title or you have to finish second behind someone that's qualified for to get, you know, qualification spot to be there.
Yep.
And when you step in there, you stepped into a contest with, and this past year it was 45 callers.
Yeah.
You stepped up against, you know, the top 45 callers in the world.
Yeah, you
know?
You are, for sure.
You're not calling against just the average, you know, fella. You know, these guys put countless hours,
yes,
including myself. I mean, practicing every day. You know, a lot of these guys, they are call builders. They're building their own calls.
Yeah.
It's just, I mean, it is so much goes into it.
Yep.
Just for that, sure. You know, for that one week.
Yeah.
And you can have the most solid run, and then you can just, you're so short. You know, like, you know, yeah. I mean,
yep.
You know, and I can honestly say, I have not made the cut for the finals at the National yet.
Wow.
But I have been so close.
Yeah. Your time's coming, brother. Your time's coming.
And, you know, and when, you know, you miss the transfer spot by 12 points.
Mm-hmm. On this one,
and, you know, that is strong. And then you look at where you're at, and then you look at all the other callers, and you and another 15 callers got the same score.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like NASCAR, man.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's a sport in itself, you know, like it's you don't really want to say athlete, but I mean, you guys train and you guys practice and you guys, you know, do this, like you're saying, countless hours to get to that point and to be that good. So,
yes. And, you know, and when you have a contest and you got the top 12 guys, that's half a point, 1 point.
Mm-hmm.
Difference in all those guys in the top 12, that's tight.
Yeah, it sure is. Yeah. Tight.
And I mean, and, you know, and then some of the guys that just make that one little bobble, and then it knocks you out of the game.
Uh-huh. Yep.
It's just like if you're sitting there, you're watching your bobble on a fish, and when it hits it, you jerk it too fast, and you miss the fish, you make that one little bad note, you're out of the game.
Yep. All right, Stanley, we'll be right back after a word from our sponsors. We're going to hit on a quote that you had there during this article, and then we're going to talk a little bit more about the NWTF convention.
Okay.
Do you find yourself not wanting to tackle that honeydew list at home or the dreaded home and business repairs and improvements? Let Jones Empire LLC, which is a locally owned and operated business from Charleston to Huntington, West Virginia. Jones Empire LLC is licensed and insured, servicing commercial and residential properties throughout the state of West Virginia. Jones Empire LLC offers junk removal, property cleaning, interior and exterior cleaning, paver, patios, small remodels, tree pruning, tree trimming, tree cutting, tree removal, demolition, tree thinning, stump removal, landscaping, painting and staining, gutter cleaning, pressure washing, and even small remodels. Jones Empire LLC also offers dump trailer services for all your hauling needs. Jones Empire LLC offers free estimates. Schedule your service today. Call or text 304-541-8934. Again, call Jones Empire LLC 304-541-8934. They also offer 24/7 emergency services. Call them today. All right, guys, we're back with five-time Georgia State competition calling champion Stanley Wimes. So, Stanley, we'll get back into some of the convention stuff here in a little bit, but we're going to talk a little bit more about that article.
Okay.
Yeah, definitely. So, you know, Stanley, you was quoted to say it's not all about the money. It's about putting the call in the new hunter's hand, whether it be a young or old person, man or woman.
Yes.
You know, that's a great sentiment. You know, that's, we talk about that. It's about keeping, especially the youth, getting the youth involved. But like you're saying right there, man, it's young and old. Old people still can start hunting too. I know several people that started getting into turkey hunting later in their lives.
Yeah.
Yes.
For sure. I mean, that's, you know, it keeps them young.
Yes, it does. And, you know, and I can say this, you know, I've been really blessed to be a part of this turkey thing, to be able to just enjoy myself and get one-on-one with Mother Nature. But also when I go to the woods and hunt, the passion I have for the hunt, that turkey, if I'm teaching a kid, if I'm sharing a story with someone, I got that same passion. Because yeah. I want them when, if I'm telling them a story, I want them to feel that they're right there with me. Enjoy.
Oh yeah, it's a great experience to be able to share that passion with somebody else.
Exactly.
It's almost better than hunt sometimes.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say.
Know, yes, because once you, and I tell a lot of people, you know, when you go and you have that one-on-one encounter with that long deer, and you call him in, and he's at 20 yards, and you got two things you can do. You can say, okay, I'm going to take this bird, or I'm going to let this bird walk away and enjoy the show.
Yeah.
And do this again another day.
Yeah.
And, you know, I find myself doing that now, going, and then, okay, I'll do this again tomorrow. Or I'll do this again in a couple of days because, you know what, I enjoyed the show. And those are the birds that are fun.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, definitely. So another thing we do like to do on our podcast is our salute to valor. So this evening, our salute to valor is going to go out to Richard L. Smith. He served in the United States Marine Corps from 1970 to 1972, and he was in Okinawa, Japan. So the last big battle of World War II was Okinawa, and Okinawa was actually placed under the U.S. administration until 1972.
Yep.
When Okinawa reverted back to Japan, obviously we still have some bases there, and some of our enlisted gentlemen, men and women, still serve at those posts in Japan. So we'd like to thank you for your service this evening, Richard, and knowing you was over the big pond.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you for your service,
thank
Richard.
Thank you for your service, sir.
Alrighty. Well, so we've talked about your quote there that you had. How has the hunting industry and the calling competitions changed since you started years ago? You've been in this.
It's changed a good bit. You know, actually, the turkey sound has changed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it got to where the pot calls was the thing. And then all of a sudden, on the friction side, it goes, now they're leaning to the box call side. So you kind of, and it's all opinionated, and it's all, you know, man judging, ladies judging. So if you got someone that loves a box call, they're going to score a box call well. If you got a man that loves a pot call, he's going to score a pot call well. Mm. And that's where the opinionation comes in, you know. So that's where it can get frustrating sometimes, but you got to say, okay, I got to get myself something before I can compete in that game too. So I need to build me a good box call. Or I get me a good box call. Or I can compete with those guys. So you got to be willing to change the game.
Sure. That makes sense.
Wow. Yeah, it does for sure.
And, you know, and everybody, and I can say this when it comes to turkey hunting, the first ever hen turkey I encountered, she was yelping to me and competed against me. That hen imprinted on me. So that's the hen I think I got to sound like.
Yeah, that's sure.
And every hunter has to encounter that. So he has this hen in his head that he wants to imitate. So if you like a raspy hen, sounding hen, and then someone likes to clear you up in hen, if he sits behind that curtain judging you, he might not like that rash, so he may not score you that well.
Yeah, it's true.
He may not like that clear you, but he may not score you that way. So, but that's where you got to learn how to be able to say, I got to put realism in my calling to convince that judge I am a turkey.
Yeah.
And that's where, you know, that's when the rubber hits the road, because you got so many guys that can do that.
Yep. I mean, it's just like humans. There's no turkey the same.
You know? That's right. And that was a discussion. Me and a guy, Mr. Lamar Fussell, he's a world champion turkey caller. We're good friends. And I was talking, and he said, you know, turkeys are like humans. He said, but I think that really imprinted on their mother's yelping. And that made a lot of sense, because if you got a hen that she's a raspy yelping hen, she sits on that cluster of eggs, she has them pokes off. Them pokes are going to hear raspy yelping hen does the assembly calling them back. So that's what they're going to hear.
Mm-hmm.
So that, and I think that gobbler, he'll respond to a raspy yelping hen than he would a clear yelping hen. It's just like we as humans, you can, you know, you can take and put five women in a room. Your mom can be in there. Your mom can call your name. You're going to know which one of those ladies is your mom.
Yeah, especially when she says your middle name.
I think that has a lot to do with the turkey communication as well. They was imprinted on that sound that, from that boss hen, that mother hen, and I think that's what kind of triggers a gobbler, because I've been in the woods before, had a slate call, had a glass call, you know, had a, you know, crystal call, and they wouldn't respond to this slate. They wouldn't respond to the crystal call, but they respond to the glass call.
Yeah.
And then go back to the same place the next day and use the same exact calls, and they won't respond to the glass, but they respond to the slate.
Yeah.
So you that's why you got to keep an arsenal of turkey calls, because you never know
for sure
what temperament they in. And you never which birds want to communicate with you that day.
And, you know, that's the good thing about all the call companies out there. Everybody needs one of each.
Absolutely.
You know, yes. I mean, because, like we say, no turkey's the same. And you're saying it might answer to that glass call or that crystal or that anodized aluminum or whatever. And that anodized aluminum may be in a paddock pod. It may be in a cherry. It may be in a walnut. All those are different tones.
Yeah, so. And it all makes different tones.
Yeah.
It's like right here, I got a black anodized aluminum pot call that's in an Osage pot.
Yep.
On a diamond wood striker. And this joker, man, it is just
woo.
It's just, that's a run.
That's a firecracker right there.
Yeah,
she's calling you for dinner right there.
You know, and that's a call. When I came home from Nashville, you know, I said, you know what? I got to build me some new horses to get ready to run this race for next year.
So
I've already started building calls for next year.
Yeah.
And just like that anodized aluminum was running phenomenal. And then here I reach over and I pick up a slate call, black slate call, and it runs as well. Mm-hmm. And that's a slate call. Totally
different sound though, really. Uh-huh. I mean,
totally different sound.
Totally different sound.
But you notice the cadence.
Yeah.
My rhythm. It was all the same.
Oh yeah, for sure. Yep, that's a key.
And that's where we got to be able to present it to a judge and say, he can close his eyes and say, I hear that turkey walking up
there. Yeah, that cadence and that rhythm. You're like you're saying, that's a big key to those judges, because that's what they're looking for. That's the realistic part of a turkey. A turkey's gonna know if you mess up. I mean, if you get off a note, he's going to be like, or she's going to be like, that ain't right. Something's wrong.
That's exactly right.
You know?
But yes, man, you know, and y'all, like, on the article, I'm still, you know, just it's humbling to know that, you know, they took the time to write that in that magazine about me and NWTF, and I really appreciate that. You know, it really meant a lot.
Yeah. So going back from the article, I remember, or I seen your post this year, as soon as you went in there to Nashville and headed into the town or the city, you seen your face there on the light post flags. How good of a feeling was that?
Well, you know, I got there that morning and I was there and I had to do the call judging contest, and I went there and I started judging the call judging contest. And one of the guys go, "Hey man, did you see yourself on the banner?" I was like, "No, what are you talking about, man?" Oh, man. You're on banners. I was like, "Really?" And so they took me and showed me, and I was like, "Wow." And then they started showing me where, you know, how they was, you know, all downtown, you know, on the big flashing downtown. And I was like, "Wow, that's pretty cool."
Yeah.
But it was also humbling, you know, and everybody go, "Oh, I seen you on the banner. You're the guy on the banner.
Yeah.
Almost all the time. I was like, "Oh man, I'm just a simple man. I'm just, hey, man." But it was just so humbling, man, and it really made me feel good that, you know, they took the time again to say, "Hey, let's recognize this man for working so hard." Let's
that's the thing I like is like being recognized for something that you love that much.
Yeah,
you know, I think that's amazing. Exactly.
And I talked with the NWTF, and I was like, "Hey, I want to get that banner. Can I get that banner?" And I didn't get a chance to get the banner. Now, man, I was like, I wish I could have got the banner, but I didn't get it. But you know what? Hey,
yeah.
Being able to see it and get pictures of it, and I stood beside one of them and took a picture beside it. So, you know,
I'm sure if you call old Joe Drake up, he gets you that banner.
Who's that? If I give who a call?
Joe.
I don't know. but I may have to lean on Joe and see if he can help me out.
Yeah, yeah. Richard's pretty good friends with Joe. I'd call him up, be like, "Hey, can I get that banner? It's got me on it."
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, I know. I'll tell you, you know, and every year Joe has it. He puts on his Peach State Classic, and I go down and compete in Joe's Peach State Classic.
Yeah,
and you know, that is one contest I have not won.
Oh, really?
And no, but I have, and just I don't know what it is. That's the first contest starting off for the year. And I just don't know if I'm just got the first of the year jitters when it comes to that contest. and then I can go 2 weeks later and then I can start winning contests. So I got to guess, I'm going to have to put in my mindset is I'm having a contest in December. So when January comes, I'm ready for that contest. Because I told Joe at Nashville, I said, "I've never won your contest, but I'm going to win it this year coming up." And he said, "All right, come on, big boy."
Yeah. He says, "Bring it."
Yeah, bring it. And, you know, and I'm on the Christian side, and I've made a decision to where this year I'm going to start running some diaphragms, and I think I'm going to start running in the open.
That's what I was going to ask. Are you only friction, or do you do – I was going to ask that later on, but I probably would have forgot about it. If you had to say something.
But I'm fixing to start running some – I mean, I build diaphragm calls, you know, with my company, and I do all that stuff. And I'm fixing to start running some, you know, diaphragm calls because I feel that, you know, I need to broaden my perspective out and be on both sides of the token.
Yeah.
Well, hey, Stanley, something that we like to do every episode is we like to do a scripture of the day. So our verse of the day tonight – is coming out of Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. And I'm going to be reading this out of the Passion Translation. There you go, Dan. It's all for you, baby. So it is, it says, "Now faith brings our hopes into reality and becomes the foundation needed to acquire the things we long for. It is all the evidence required to prove what is still unseen." I don't know. I think, like, you know, being in faith, that makes those things that we can't see yet, those things that aren't, you know, that we're hoping for in our lives, it can bring those things into reality. You know what I'm saying?
Yes. I mean, you know, honestly, you know, I've worked with the local government back here, back in Athens, Georgia. I've been with the local government for 33 years, and I never, and working in the water industry, but I never thought that, you know, that my passion would go like it is, and having a job to where it made it possible for me to do that, because, you know, working for local government, you know, you get days off and you don't lose pay. So that's a good part about, you know, working for government, you know, when I need to take those days off, I was able to take off, and then I was able to still, you know, get my income and keep my home going and keep everything rocking and rolling. So that was a great part about, you know, this venture for me.
Nice.
Yep. That's awesome. You know, just real quick, Dan, sorry, just real quick. If you look down into verse 3, this is cool. He says, faith empowers us to see that the universe was created and beautifully coordinated by the power of God's words. He spoke, and the invisible realm gave birth to all that we see.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, you think about how beautiful the creation is. Man, we talk about this a lot.
You mentioning that scripture brought that one to me. I was like, yeah. as we were on mute, I was like, did you go to 3?
He was like, no. And then I looked at it. I was like, oh man.
I'm getting ready to mention that because, like, that's one thing I think of when I'm hunting.
Yeah.
You know, everything that I can see out there, all this beautiful creation was created from something that I can't see.
Yeah.
You know,
absolutely.
I mean, it's God's glory.
I mean, how awesome is God to be like, you know what? I'm going to make them some turkeys. I mean, seriously, to God, what's a turkey to God? I don't know, but or deer, you know, just enjoying that. I don't know.
He gave them to us for us to enjoy.
That's what I'm saying, you know? Man. Absolutely.
You know, and what's so fascinating with me about this is look at how much knowledge that he's given so many people to build and create so many different style turkey calls.
Yeah.
But still get the same sound.
Yeah.
You know, his way of letting people have thoughts and visions.
It's pretty amazing.
It's amazing. Yes.
It is. Sorry, Dan, I interrupted you, man.
You have to forgive me, man. No, I was just going to talk about, you know, the NWTF convention and Grand Nationals. You know, you've been talking about that a good little bit. What did you end up placing down there?
I think I was like 24th or 25th in the back, you know, in about the middle of the pack.
Okay.
But, you know, I was happy where I was because I know I got a little bit more work I got to do. And if you don't work to get there, it's not going to happen. And sometimes you got to say, okay, I got to get up and work a little bit harder.
Yeah.
And you know, think about it, you know, you have a good run and you have people walk up and go, man, you really caught good. I thought you was in the cut this time. And I go, you know what? Hey, it wasn't my time. You know, when it's my time, no matter what, nobody try to do. When it's my time, ain't nobody going to block it.
That's right.
Exactly.
Take off. When this is my time, it's going to happen. Yep. And ain't nobody block it. Or nobody can block his blessings.
That's right. Well, let's talk about you have a company, Black Lightning Game Calls.
Yes.
Let's talk a little bit about that.
I'll tell you, when I started this journey, I first started out building box calls.
Okay.
I was like, you know, because the first call that I ever got was a Bentley box call, so a box call was stuck in my head.
Yeah.
You know, so I started building box calls. And they sold to all the people around here, the local people that knew me in the county, friend to a friend, and that's how it all started. And then I thought, well, you know, I want to build a pot call. And so I started building pot calls and, you know, didn't have a lot of people to say, hey, this is what you got to do. This is what you have to do. You know, some of my first pot calls I built didn't even have a soundboard in it. And, you know, but it was turkey.
Yeah.
They found, and I was like, yes, that's turkey. And they sold it. But then when more and more I got into it, I go, people go, thank you for the soundboard. And it sounds a little bit better. You can get a better tone. You can get a better this. Okay. Then I had to start learning how to do that. And there's people that will help you 100%, And there's some people, they think it's a trade secret. But, you know, I just kept staying with it and trial and error, make a call, it sounds good, make another one, it sounds terrible. Make one, and I was like, you know, I got to find finally I found a good, consistent pot that it can work, and then it just took off, and then I was able to build from that.
Nice. So where can people find your calls?
Well, I got a Facebook page, Black Lightning Custom Calls, and a lot of people, they'll message me through Messenger, and they'll call me that way, and they'll get hooked up calls. A lot of my information is on that page. And this year, I've decided to swear, you know, I'm going to have to do a web page to where I can promote more, do more, because people call, hey, I'm looking to try to find your call, and I go, turn on a Facebook page. So I need to get it to where more people can find these calls and see them a lot faster than just having to go through Facebook all the time or Instagram.
That makes sense. Absolutely.
Well,
and, you know, if you build a good call and you stand behind your product, you know, and you got true turkey hunters that run your call, their friend's going to see it. Their uncle's going to see it. Their cousin's going to see it. And your call's going to sell. And that has been one thing that I have been successful with, because I've had a lot of friends, and that's how a lot of my calls are sold, by friends, cousins, and it's been amazing. Mm-hmm.
That word of mouth, that's where it gets you.
Yeah, you can't ever beat that advertisement word of mouth, that's for sure.
That's right. That's right. Exactly.
All right, Stanley.
And when the sound's there, it speaks volumes for itself.
Yeah, it does.
Yes, it does.
Well, Stanley, it was great speaking with you this evening. Thank you so much for coming on as a guest. It was an honor talking to you.
And I'll tell you, man, I it's really an honor to get called and actually be on y'all show and do the podcast. And like I say, man, I can't speak enough for the NWTF. I mean, you know, some of my pro staff like Marty O, Drake and Old Tom.
Yep.
Some of those guys, Tacticam. Those guys, you know, have treated me well, and you know, it's been an honor, man, just to be able to do this stuff and the friendships that I've met along the way.
Yep.
That is priceless.
Oh, absolutely.
Yep, for sure. All right, well, everybody, we thank you for listening. Be sure to check out Black Lightning Game Calls there on his Facebook page. And give him a like. Stanley, again, we appreciate you, sir.
Thank you, man. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You bye-bye. Do the same.
Yes, sir.
Bye-bye.
All right, guys. Well, be sure to check out our new episode getting ready to drop tomorrow morning at 7 a.m., Ryan Barnett with Pattern Pros USA. That airs tomorrow morning. So that was another great episode that we had. And you'll get to find out about that sweet little business model that he's got there. So if you haven't already checked it out, be sure to check that out tomorrow. Be sure to check us out on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, or wherever you get your podcasts. We're there. So we appreciate everybody listening. You all have a good night. Are you looking for that European or craft beer culture? Breathe Wine and Culture Company, where your wine and craft beer culture thrives. Located in Cross Lanes, West Virginia, and coming soon to downtown Huntington, West Virginia, the Breathe Wine and Culture Company offers over 150 types of craft beer, extensive wine choices, thoughtful gifts, and even grab-and-go food options, as well as specialized catering. Shop local, shop small for a unique experience. You can check them out on their Facebook page or give them a call today at 304-823-4577. Breathe Wine and Culture Company, 304-823-4577.